Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome to episode number 94, everybody. Certainly thank those that have listened for a long time, but also welcome those of you that happen to be listening for the first time. And if you are listening for the first time, what's the show about? Well, you heard a little bit about it in the intro. It is the fact that we like to talk to all the great creatives, all the producers, all the directors, everybody involved in arts and entertainment here in the Sioux Empire. And if you're not from around here, the Sioux Empire is basically the metro area of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where Interstates 29 and 90 converge. It's a great little place to call home for me. And the Sioux Empire has a lot of things going on in the arts and entertainment world. Today, we're going to be speaking with Edward Ike. He's an abstract artist. He also does some other things and does some really cool and fun stuff. Regrettably, as we were recording that, halfway through, all of a sudden, the power went doink and so forth. And then we started off with the second half, which is what you're going to get. So unfortunately, we missed about 13 minutes of the Edward Ike interview, but it was a great conversation regardless. And then as I kind of lead into it, when we come back to hear from Edward in a bit, I will capsulize some of it at least and give you some of the basics of what the man is about when it comes to his artistic talent. Also, we're going to be speaking with Spencer Smith, who is one of the pastors at First Congregational United Church of Christ in Sioux Falls. And he's the music director and so forth, but he's also the person that's in charge of an arts and entertainment series that they have. We'll hear more about that coming up later in the show.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner. It's here.
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday. So a day early, we start the party.
Lift them up high, get them ready, and then drink your favorite beverage to paying it forward. Just noticed on Facebook this week, a friend had gone through a drive-thru and realized that the car in front of them had paid for their beverage. That's a nice deal. I know a lot of people do that, especially at drive-thrus. That's always fun. You know, and if you have the ability to do so, do it sometime. You'd be surprised at how great it feels because you never hear back from who's ever behind you. You know, they may say something about it, but you never really know. Too often, at least, you know who it was. So it's just a great feeling by doing something nice. All right, and the Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter what brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours lets you and your friends choose any or all of the 8 local breweries. Best part, they take care of the driving in a very cool van that sits up to 6. Book your private tours online at alehopbrewerytours.com. If you're already out and about on the weekend, hop on one of their public tours. For more info, call 605-777-2183. That is 605-777-2183. Take it from others. I would recommend this tour to anyone, beer lover or not. Thanks for the great experience. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews.
Honorable mention.
And the honorable mention goes out to Mike and Matt. Matt Hasted and Michael Sorensen are the combination that makes up 6 feet over, because they're both over 6 feet tall. And last Thursday, I believe it was, the missus and I went out and had a great time at Pave. They were playing upstairs and outside on the patio, and did just a fantastic job, as always. So to you too, my friends that have been on the show several times, thank you. It was a great time and great to see you. So coming up in just a moment, we're going to hear from Edward Ike, abstract artist, and then later on in the show, it'll be one of the pastors at First Congregational United Church of Christ talking about music, arts, entertainment as ministry. It's all ahead on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or xochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Rackett Drive in Sioux Falls.
Listen whenever, wherever, however you like. Just remember, it's a new Dave Holly Hour episode every Thursday.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you listening. No matter what platform you might be doing so on, it's always a pleasure to have you along. And thank you for the things that you do on social media and the likes and so forth. The sharing of the information that's out there on the Dave Holly Hour page, as well as on Instagram and so forth. It truly means a lot. Now, regrettably, the first half of the Edward Ike interview had a technical snafu to it. There was something that happened while we were recording it. The power just went out on what we were recording into. But I thought should have saved it. We do have the second half of the interview then, after we picked it up after that malfunction. And so when I got back here into the Dipsy Doodle Studios to sit down and start doing the magic things that I do to put those interviews in the show itself, I saw that it had 161 megabytes. So, yeah, should have been there. But zero for the length of the file. What happened, I don't know. This is only, let's see, we're in episode 94 now, and it's only happened a couple of times. At most, it's been four that we've had some technical issues. So my sincerest apologies to Edward. It was great sitting down with him. We have a common tie, that being my wife. And the two of them went to high school together up in Flandreau. So he's a Flandreau native. He's done a lot of different things. He has been working in the past for some limousine services in town, and did very well being a driver, because he's a nice guy and people like to tip nice guys. And I will definitely have him on again and very soon, because we got to talking afterwards, and there were some great things bantered about, and he has some really fun stuff that he's going to be doing. You know, I'll let you in on one of them, and I think he alludes to this in the second half of the interview that we do have as well. You know those little things that you do at a carnival where it's a little spinning wheel, and then there's these clear old-fashioned ketchup bottles, is how I refer to them. They show you the different colors of paint, then you squirt them, and they make their own little design. Okay, very cool, fun. Almost everybody can do it, right? Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that couldn't do it. And he's put it on steroids. with a bicycle tire. And it he's showing me some, and just amazing stuff. But for the most part, Edward Eich is an abstract artist. He's been doing art for over 30 years. He does it very, very well. Saw one of his exhibits recently, and it was fantastic. I really love the way that his colors and his abstract pop out. He talks a lot, and he talks about it in the second half as well, as we kind of bring it back. To talk about one of his favorite things is when somebody takes a look at his abstract work and sees something that he didn't think of when he was making the abstract. You know, he has his own ideas as to what it might be and has a concept and so forth, and then just throws this abstract art out there. But then somebody comes along, takes a look at it, and goes, wow. In fact, he had a great story about somebody that had taken a look at one of his paintings and said, oh, it reminds me of fishing at a lake and, you know, camp and, you know, a cabin and so forth. And he hadn't thought of that at all. He showed me the picture and I thought, wow, I can see where that lady happened to see it that way. And, you know, that's such a great thing about art, is that we can all interpret it in different ways. So it was fun getting to know Edward a little bit more. He also does some great work painting, you know, like tigers and hawks, or not hawks, but eagles especially. He's got some great stuff that he has done. So, again, my sincerest apologies to him and to all of you. We will get Edward back on the show very soon, because there's some other things we've got to talk about yet. But in the meantime, here's what you can hear of part two with Edward Eich. We'll just pick it up right here. So, Edward, you've mentioned, you know, the fact that you like it when people see something that you didn't necessarily put into your painting. But by the same token, you know, do you also have things that you hope people just stop by and go, ooh, and you've, it's kind of what you were thinking?
Yeah, it's when they're looking at it, they walk in closer, look at it, back up, look at it from an angle, it pulls them in. Then you know you got them.
An average display, you know, you took the abstracts. Well, you took 20 paintings in.
I took 20 in, and she picked eight of those.
Yeah. And so out of those eight, how do you do in terms of sales and so forth?
I had two of my larger ones sell.
Excellent.
And I had another show, and I had a couple smaller ones sell.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got more leads on doing more.
Right. And then any commission type work that people talk about?
We're negotiating some things.
Oh, negotiating. I tell you, you've got some things in the works.
Oh, yeah.
And so forth. I'd like to get back a little bit to the group that you've been starting, and you talked about it, that, you know, pandemic kind of set it back. But what are you hoping that it involves for local artists?
It started out for us just getting together, getting to know each other, talking art. If you have a problem with something, I may know somebody. There's another photographer here. You know, you guys can talk it out.
Yeah.
You know, what works for you? Where are you selling? You know, are these little craft shows that you have to spend X amount of dollars working?
Right, yeah.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah, where you know, go set up a tent if it's outdoors, you got a big table, an indoor show and so forth. Yeah, that does make it tough. You know, that, first of all, you've spent the time and the effort on the art itself. And then you've got to pay for somebody to take a look at it.
Yep.
I could see how that would be a little grating on wondering, you know, is it worth it? But obviously, you know, when you get to a place where you've got a display and there's an exhibit of your work and somebody comes up and buys it, that's thrilling.
Yes.
It's also beneficial, you know, in terms of that. But when it comes to you getting paid for your work, is it that somebody is going to go in there and they're paying just for a particular piece that you did because you did it in X amount of hours? Or is this one of those cases where when somebody asks you, how long did that take? You can say, well, 30-some years, because that's how long I've been practicing art.
Yeah. It's just satisfying knowing that they like it and will pay for it and are proud to hang it and display it for themselves.
So. Right. Oh, I tell you, it's just so fun to talk about that. And, you know, you were mentioning the fact that your group was just, you know, kind of to get together and also help each other, though. And yeah. I think that's one of the things that ever since I started doing this podcast and focusing on arts and entertainment is that we really don't have a, quote unquote, competitive arts and entertainment community. We've got a very collaborative arts and entertainment.
And where we were meeting and getting to know people, there's a lot more in that area. Mm-hmm. And we could grow more and kind of merge with the gallery here. They're going to take us, help business-wise out, help, you know, instruct people a little bit different directions, maybe for the better, mm-hmm. to better themselves.
Right.
And move on from there.
Yeah. So how many artists do you think are in Sioux Falls?
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How many do you think get displayed on a regular basis, though?
About 20.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. So, you know, it's one of the things that's been fun with our growth has been seeing, you know, like the downtown musicians and so forth. Are we going to, you think we're going to be seeing, and that's allowed so many more people in the music area to get involved. Do you think we're going to see that in art too?
Yeah, it's growing.
Okay.
And it will expand more.
So we can get more of those people beyond the 20.
Yep. So it's not just art galleries. It's restaurants and breweries and coffee shops.
Right.
Are displaying more art for sale.
Yeah.
It's expanding kind of quietly there, and you don't know it.
True. Yeah. In fact, one of our local artists that we like happened to be a waitress at one of our favorite restaurants, and they were displaying her art.
Nice.
Yeah, and we bought one of her prints, so it was fantastic. Anything you want to do beyond your acrylic work and the restoration and so forth?
Just continue it. I'd like to quit my job and do that full time, but that doesn't
wouldn't
pay.
That be nice?
Doesn't quite pay yet.
You know, when you're not involved in your art, because it sounds like basically your free time is taken up by it.
Yes.
Do you ever get out and enjoy other arts and entertainment in town?
A little bit. We take the dog and go. We babysit a little pug.
Okay.
And she goes everywhere.
Any hobbies at all?
That's about it. Painting.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it keeps you occupied. When you're not at a full-time job, you've got a full-time hobby.
Yeah,
we don't want to call it a hobby because it is. You know, you do make money off of it.
Yeah.
Obviously not to the way that you would love to.
Yeah. I've done some restoration on garden gnomes and repainted them and take logos and put on them for people and stuff like that, too.
That's fantastic. So let me ask you this then. If you were going to make a painting right now, at this moment, what would you start with?
What would I start with?
What's the idea?
What's the idea? Well, I've been working on, I didn't get accepted in a metro design, and it's in the back of my head, and it's a flying car.
Oh.
It's got Sioux Falls in the foreground.
Uh-huh.
With the falls and the clock tower and a Jetson car flying through it. I've done some.
For those that remember the Jetsons.
Yes. A little couple paintings and to kind of start it out, but I want to do it larger.
Okay. Yeah. And what drives you right now, you know, when you're thinking about art? You know, because those of us that have regular jobs, you know, I have a regular full-time job, but this is a passion for me. Obviously, your art is a passion for you, but, you know, there's some times where you're kind of whooped from the day job.
Yeah, downtime at my day job, I can sketch out a few things and get my ideas rolling and kind of snowball effect from there.
How do you define modern art?
Modern art, we're got art all around us right here with the sculpture walk. I like more the Monet style and abstract back
right
in the beginnings. It's not today, people are just sometimes painting on cardboard and trying to sell it. Yeah. if you're going to put that much effort on that cardboard, do you
put it on a canvas.
Put it on a canvas, you could make a lot more money. And they just don't take the time. And they have the talent.
Right. So it's there, but they're just not presenting it right.
Yeah, they haven't been trained sometimes on their painting techniques. And that shows.
Who do you admire in modern art?
In modern art?
Who's out there that isn't a household name, per se, that we should be looking at?
Sioux Falls' name here is Brad Kringen.
Okay. Brad Kringen.
I knew him years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Love his work.
Awesome. Yeah, so we'll look out for that and maybe have Brad on the show sometime. That would be fantastic. In the meantime, wish you well with your passion.
Thank you.
And as well with the group that you're starting up. And really look forward to having some more information about that down the line so that we can tell more people about it. Again, you know, when I see your stuff, it pops. You know, it my eyes are drawn to it. That's always the first thing. And then I start looking deeper into it and determining what I like. So I'm looking forward to more of that. And who knows, maybe you get some commissions coming your way.
Thank you very
much. All right. Thank you, Edward Ike. Appreciate your time. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks.
All right. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, my hand won't follow it.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's J-E-S-S-E. M-O-F-F-I-T-T, or call 605-929-0964.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. It is such a pleasure to introduce you to new concepts with arts and entertainment. And that's what we're going to do right now with Spencer Smith from First Congregational United Church of Christ, as we're going to talk about art as ministry. How are you, Spencer?
I'm good. How are you doing, Dave?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us on the show. And, you know, we know each other because happens to be where we both worship. Yep. You are a paid staff member there, and you have a program that involves arts in ministry. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's our annual arts series. It started probably, I want to say, in 2008, with my predecessor, Jack Mollenhoff. And it is the main mission. I'll kind of read what our arts ministry mission is because it's hard to remember off the top of your head. So our music and arts ministry seeks to use our meeting house as a venue to foster and celebrate the arts as reflections of God's inspiration through service to the human community. So, you know, I really try to promote all genres of art and that sort of thing in the series. So it usually runs from September to May. And we've got a great variety of art this year and just kind of promoting how God can still speak through us through art. So,
oh, wow. It's going to be exciting because, you know, I've had Roger Ellingson on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
And his artwork, I so enjoy. And, you know, the story behind it of the fact that he actually started off being more of a photographer and then decided, well, it'd be fun to just sit down. And he started the painting of places around town and so forth. So it's fun to see. While you were putting together this program then for this year, what was it that you were specifically looking for, you know, so it's not kind of like a repeat of years before and so forth?
Right. You know, I usually try to look for different genres. So we cover visual art, performing art, and spoken word music. So I really try to make sure that there's diversity in those specific genres. So we have an art show in March with Native American artist Jennifer White. She's coming
her
up.
Her stuff is amazing.
Yeah, she's so great. Wonderful human, great person to get to work with. So I'm so excited for that. And then we have our plein air painting with Roger. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be something that we're looking for, and just kind of different ways for people to be involved. And then music, you know, we have been kind of a classical arts series, but we've got Maggie in the Meantime as our kickoff concert, which is a Celtic band. So I'm so excited for that. It's just kind of creating a little bit more of a, like I said, a diverse arts scene for the arts ministry specifically. So that's kind of what I look for. I'm always looking for future series and ways that I can partner with people. I especially like to work with local artists. And so, you know, helping people kind of promote their voice is what I like to look for. So,
all right. How much of this is interactive?
That's a good question. I would say there's probably 4 events that will be more interactive than others. Our 2 art shows will have a Q&A session with the artists, mm-hmm. After the gallery viewing time. So we have the gallery in the church that the artists will display their work. And then we'll have kind of a reception, that sort of thing, that people can talk to the artists.
Right.
And that as well. So then there's those 2 art shows. And then we have the plein air painting classes, 2 of those. And then we'll have, I'm calling it My Funny Valentine. It's kind of a Valentine's Day cabaret dessert theater sort of thing.
Loving that.
So those will be the most interactive with audience members. And then the others are just concerts where you get to sit back and enjoy the music for hour or so, and just kind of escape.
I like that first one, Maggie in the Meantime.
Yeah.
You know, Celtic is one of those things that I will be honest, I don't seek out Celtic music, mm-hmm. but when I go to something that has it, I love it.
Yeah, it's so fun. The energy that they have is a really great, great thing. So yeah, they're made up of 4 musicians. There's a violinist and oboist who also plays keyboard, and then vocals and guitar. So and they kind of weave a spoken storyline in with it as well. And so, yeah, it'll be a really interesting concert to kind of kick off the series with.
Yeah,
I'm excited
for that. Look
forward
to that, no doubt. So what is it about arts and entertainment and the Word of God then?
Right.
Where do we find things that say, hey, right. I really want you to be able to provide, such enjoyment to people?
Right. I think as a music director for worship, music is such a huge part of how we connect to God and how we connect to that community. So I think just trying to get this more across as God is speaking through us in our art is kind of my goal, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's always hard because it can be such an individualistic approach for people. And so for me personally, I worship through music. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
That is my main way that I connect.
Yeah. I've always found it interesting, when it comes to artists and entertainers, mm-hmm. quite often you hear, when somebody reacts to their, performance mm-hmm. or demonstration or display, that they will use the words, oh, it's a God-given talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, obviously, many have taken training and so forth, but right. there's usually something that's just kind of inherent in somebody
yes.
that makes yeah. them do this, isn't there?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. For yourself, what was that, you know?
I have always been drawn to the piano. We had a piano growing up in my family home, and so I would walk by as a little 2-year-old, and I'd just start pushing uh-huh. keys, and then I started playing by ear when I was probably
really?
4. Yeah, my sister took piano lessons, and she was good at the time, you know, and she practiced and everything, and so I would sit and listen to her practice, and then I would go plunk out what she was playing on the piano. So that's kind of, it's always been in my fingers, I guess you could uh-huh. say.
What was family reaction when they'd hear you do that?
My sister would get jealous because I could play what she was playing.
Right.
She's 8 years older than I am. So she was not always happy. But then my mom was like, well, maybe we should look into having you take some piano lessons. So they always encouraged it right away.
And how long did you take piano lessons after that then?
I started officially when I was 6, and then I went all the way until my senior year of college. So I majored in piano. So that's, what is that, 16 years?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still learning.
See, I would have thought, you know, if I were a parent and a child sits down after you're paying for one to go to piano lessons, and the next child comes along, just plays the same thing, just by ear. Mm-hmm. Did they ever think of not sending you to piano lessons?
No, you know, my mom is also a musician, and so she realized that it was important for me to learn and for me to be able to read music and things like that. So, I caught on pretty quick, I think. It was just something I always loved to do. She says I was the easiest kid because I never fought to practice. I would just go sit down.
Right. Excellent. So, speaking of practice, how often do you practice now?
That's a good question. It kind of depends. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm more of an organist, I practice organ quite a bit because you have music that needs to be ready every week. And so I usually try to practice every day. It doesn't always happen, but kind of fitting it into my schedule. So I'd say I probably practice 10 hours a week, maybe.
Right.
Sometimes less, sometimes more.
All right. I'm going to ask one of those stupid questions.
No such thing.
See, I agree with you on that, too. And afterward, I'll tell you a story about stupid questions anyway.
Okay.
You know, obviously, you have the 88 keys on a piano.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you move over to an organ, it still looks to most of us, the general lay people, that you're just playing piano except on something that's got some steam behind it.
Right.
What's the difference to you?
The difference. Okay. There are 64 keys on a standard organ manual. And then there are 32 pedals that you play with your feet. That is the biggest difference. There's a lot of like little minute details like touch differences and things like that, and ways that you play the instrument versus the way you play the piano. Because when you play the piano, the harder you press the key, the louder the piano is. When you play the organ, there's no difference in sound. You can push the key really lightly or really hard, and it's still going to be the same volume. And so that's, I would say, the main difference. So you have to be a little more creative in the way you articulate things, I guess, and the way you separate things. But really, I mean, the general basics are pretty much the same. Being a piano major, I transitioned over to the organ. It worked pretty well.
Yeah.
But the feet are the biggest coordination thing, you know, to change.
All right. But above the keys, are there some things that you can pull in? Are those stops?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And
so
is
the
this
phrase,
where the... Okay.
Pull all the stops. Pull
right.
out the stops. Yep. So that's where you... the more stops you add, the bigger the sound you get.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that comes from.
Is that something that when it comes to, you know, old standard hymns and so forth that have been written 400 years ago, that you look at and go, ooh, I need to do this here and this here? Is this where the creative part of you gets to play?
Yes. So funny thing, I actually look at the text of the hymn the most. And see how I can be creative enough to enhance the text with the music. So a lot of, a lot of word painting, like when you think of, for example, in A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that's a pretty standard old hymn. There's a part that talks about demons and that sort of thing when demons come to earth. And a friend of mine improvised an accompaniment where he put the melody in the bass, and then he had this rolling, really kind of almost scary part in the hands, in the manuals, that really enhanced that line of music, so we can say. And it was such a cool experience to get to hear that. And so that's what I look for most is how can I enhance the text and see if people maybe catch on. If they don't, that's great too. But that's kind of how I access worship the most, is I look at the texts.
So you grew up playing the piano, you played the organ. Any other instruments?
Yeah. I generally don't talk about that much.
Oh, but let's hear it.
Yeah,
spill
so
it.
I grew up playing the clarinet as well, clarinet and bass clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
And then took on saxophone and mallet percussion, being a pianist in a small school. You kind of do what they need. And so right. I played a lot of mallet percussion. And then I also, like every pianist, play the accordion.
I play. Really?
Yes, I. Yep,
oh,
I am,
my.
I am actually in a polka group that
no kidding.
Yeah, we're doing
I didn't even know there were any polka groups still around.
I know. It's actually kind of funny. It's a faculty group at USD, actually. So it's a tuba, French horn, and clarinet, and then accordion. So.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. Yeah, you know, because one of my first radio jobs, college years and so forth, I was at the KSCJ in Sioux City about a year. Oh, very old-fashioned AM. Mm-hmm. You know, middle of the road is what they referred to the format as. Well, I had to do the Sunday morning shift, which was mostly what we called God Squad.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of hymns and different programs that were sponsored, church services, that sort of thing. And then at 10 o'clock, in came Eddie Skeets, who was a huge polka name back then.
Okay.
And he had his show, and he brought in all these. He didn't have 45s. Mm. They were all albums. And polka songs aren't necessarily lengthy.
Mm-mm.
So there would be sometimes 20 cuts on one side of an album.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, play number 17. And, you know, this is before we were all electronic in the radio business. So I would have to count out and finally get it over to it.
Yeah.
So that was my experience with polka. But it is a fun thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet that's just got to be a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get an Oktoberfest going, it's a lot of fun. You know, you get a beer tent and people polkaing and all that fun stuff. It's a good time.
So you still do that. And then I know that... a mutual friend of ours, you have done some shows with, Maren Engel.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I have.
Will we be hearing any of that coming up?
You know, we're working on it.
Okay.
Just kind of trying to see what we can get done. I'm hoping to have something coming up soon.
I'll look forward to that. Yeah. In the meantime, what is it that draws you to music itself?
Mm. I think I've always loved the possibility of you kind of can get lost into it. Mm-hmm. You can escape from whatever you're doing, and it's just you and your instrument, or if you're performing for people, it's you sharing your talent and your ability. But for me, most of the time, like especially when I just sit down at home to play, it's my way of escaping into something else. So,
do you have a go-to for when you're at home? Is there any one particular song that it's like, no matter how long I play, I'm starting with this, or it's going to be in whatever I play tonight?
Right. Not necessarily. It kind of just depends on my mood. But usually I studied one of the famous Chopin nocturnes in college, and I've always loved it, and I've still got it in my fingers. And so usually that kind of works its way in every once in a while. But I like to just kind of improvise new age jazz type
right.
music as well. So.
Do you have a favorite genre?
Mm. I would say that classical music is probably my favorite genre, just because that's what my training is in the most.
Oh, true, yeah.
So, you know, you do a undergraduate degree in piano performance, and you're steeped in classical music.
Feel free to answer again then. Mm. What's the intensity of a piano major?
It was very intense. I remember I would be practicing anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a day.
Wow.
Usually after hours. So after class was done and all of that, spend a good 6 hours in the practice room and work it out.
What's your favorite classical song then that was the most difficult for you to learn, but gave you the greatest accomplishment afterward? Mm-hmm.
It was the closer to my senior recital, and it's called Rondo Capriccioso by Felix Mendelssohn. And it's this really great, it's got this great andante, real slow section at the beginning that's absolutely just so sonorous and so beautiful. And then it goes into the rondo part, which is this really fast kind of almost scherzo, if you know classical music. It's very, very fast. And so it makes your fingers really work. And so the end is this double octave section that goes for about a page and a half or something. And And so it's just this very, very fulfilling end to a 7-minute long piece. So you're definitely exhausted by the time you're done playing it.
Yeah.
But it was just such a great accomplishment to be able to play that and learn it. And I felt really good about it at the time. So I can't play it now, though.
Can't or just haven't practiced in a while?
Haven't practiced it in a while, yeah. Yeah,
yep. It's not part of that since you don't practice 6 to 8 hours anymore like you did.
No, yeah, no, it's not quite in the fingers. But
what drew you to the ministry?
That's a question I don't know the answer to always. I grew up going to a UCC church in my hometown, and I kind of shared my quote unquote God-given talent from a young age, and so I started playing on a regular basis when I was in sixth grade. And it was just kind of something that I always came back to. When I was in college, I was not having any intention on being a music minister or director of music for a church. But I had worked in a church during college, UCC in Vermilion. Mm-hmm. It's a great place. It's always been something that I've always come back to. And when I had the opportunity to work at First Congo here in town, I was just so excited because it's such a great community and great instruments, and they really care about art and music. And so, it's kind of just something I've fallen into. So.
Do you take suggestions on what might be a good musical thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
A grand piano is one of my favorites, and a 12-string acoustic guitar.
Ooh.
Pair those two together.
Now that's something I wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So
do you know any 12-string guitar players?
I'd have to search the memory bank again. Okay. I recall one.
Okay.
In town. So okay. I think that would just be fantastic. I really love those two particular sounds. Mm-hmm. In fact, you've ever seen the TV show with the late James Lipton, Actors Inside the Actors Studio?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, he had a 20-question thing that he did at the end of every interview and so forth with all these stars. And one of the questions was, you know, what's your favorite sound? Mm. And that would be mine, a grand piano and a 12-string guitar.
Okay.
Yeah, just love it. That's great. So you can fulfill my dreams now.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I'll work on that. That's great.
All right. Before we catch up on a few things other than that, let's go back to talk about your program once again and how people can get involved, because it's not just for First Congregational.
Correct. Yeah. Yep, it's for the entire community. And the beautiful thing about this series is we really strive for anyone and everyone to be able to come to these events. So they are free to the public, minus one. We do have one with the South Dakota Symphony that we partner with every year that is a ticketed event. But otherwise, all of the events are free to the public. And so one way that you can access the programming is on our website, www.firstcongucc.com. We have a music and arts tab that you can click on, and it's got the full program list. Or you can contact the church. I'm happy to answer questions if anybody wants to call or email. So that's the easiest way, I think, to get in touch with what we're doing with the ministry. But
you know, we've seen a lot of churches go to a contemporary type service, have a worship band, worship leaders that aren't necessarily staff and so forth. But do you think that we're going to see more arts and entertainment emphasis within ministries?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know. I would hope so. I think it's a great way that we can help use our platform to help other people lift up theirs. And so I would like to see it more. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of organization and a lot of effort to get it done. I would hope that we can see more of that come up. I don't know. It's just, that's, yeah.
When you're not involved with your full-time job, what do you like when it comes to arts and entertainment? What do you like to see? Mm. What do you like to go to?
I love being able, especially in the summertime, love being able to walk downtown and see all of the street performers. They work so hard for what they do, and so it's really, really fun to get to see. I love going to the symphony. We have such a great orchestra in town, and so we're very lucky to have that. So that's probably where I go the most. And then, I see the Pavilion Broadway show series and those things too. But that's probably my main form of arts entertainment is probably at the Pavilion. Or downtown. I live downtown, so it's a quick walk.
No doubt. And then final question, any other hobbies you have?
I don't do it very often, but I love to paint. I love painting.
You.
Painting is one of my favorite things. So,
we ever going to see you in Roger Ellingson's classroom?
I think I might do the fall one. Yeah.
Excellent.
I think I'm going to do the fall
one. I think
we're,
Carrie and I are both doing that one.
Oh, great.
We're looking forward to it. We talked about it at least. Just
make
sure it fits and so forth. But
yeah
that'd be fun. All right. Yeah. Well, what a great program.
I'm very excited. Thank you.
I can imagine so. And great to have you on the show because been wanting to have you on regardless. We had this project that you have to talk about, and then just wanted to talk about you as a musician as well. So,
thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Spencer Smith. And we will have more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thank you again. Appreciate you listening. And as well, thanks to the great guest, Edward Eich, who we will have on again soon to make up for that first half of the interview that didn't show up. Also to Spencer Smith. Thank you, Spencer. Spencer's a multi-talented man himself, and look forward to seeing him out and about in public again sometime soon, doing something outside the church, because he's especially if he does it with Maren Engel. We've had Maren on before. She has the voice of an angel, so it's great stuff when those two work together. All right. And next week, coming up, he'll be on for the last time for the summer. John Gaskins is going to be one of our guests to talk about the entertaining things left in the season for the Sioux Falls Canaries. He is the director of entertainment there and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then also, maybe you've heard the news. It's now the Premier Playhouse. That's the rebranding that's taken place for Sioux Empire Community Theater. Robin Byrne, the executive director of Premier Playhouse, is going to be on next week as well. So stay tuned. Come back and listen again. Thank you so much. Remember, my name is Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.